Hey, welcome to another CWOW Sunday. If you haven't joined us before, CWOW Sunday is a little bit different for us here at Calvary. It's about not gathering in person. In fact, there's some people, I've heard this from some people, they talk about being CWOW'd.
CWOW'd.
Yeah, CWOW'd means they showed up in the church parking lot and nobody was here. So don't be CWOW'd. Go out and be the CWOW, but don't get CWOW'd.
They've been CWOW'd.
Yeah. So CWOW stands for Church Without Walls. And on the fourth Sunday of every month right now, at least in this season at Calvary, we, instead of gathering in person, we scatter to love our neighbors, to be the church where we live or where we work or whatever. But we also still do something online for folks, but it's a little bit different. And so today, I'm here with Terry Walling, good friend of mine. If you don't know who Terry is, it's because you didn't watch one of the last CWOW Sunday deals when he was here. So go back and find that one, and that was the one in October. Go back and find that one and listen to that one. If you listen to that one, you know who he is.
No questions then on chocolate chip cookies.
Quick questions.
Right, okay.
So we're going to take a little bit of time today and talk about transitions.
Yeah.
I actually think this is one of the best things that God has given you, and it makes an impact on a lot of people. Terry he kind of jokes about it, the groundbreaking book Stuck. But it's actually a really good book. it's one of those books that, especially if you're going through a time of transition over and over again, I've heard people say this, it was like he was talking specifically to me.
Yeah.
So I'd encourage you, if you're going through a time of transition, the book Stuck is actually a pretty good guide to what is going on in the midst of that. And one of the things that really interests me about transitions, and we can kind of start there, but then I'll let you go wherever you want, because you're the expert on transitions. But I found going through the COVID pandemic that God really began to lay on my heart that we were going through a kind of a global time of transition.
Yeah.
Not just a bunch of individual transitions at the same time, but globally, especially for me, what I'm kind of passionate about is the church, that God was bringing the church through a time of transition. So I started saying over and over again, probably for some people ad nauseum, we are not in a temporary interruption, but this is a transitional disruption.
Right.
That God wants to prepare us, shape us, and prepare us for what's coming next.
Right.
And so we're in this time of transition. In fact, one of the stories that I love that I felt like God kind of gave me for a time of transition, kind of more corporately, is the story of Jesus walking on the water, the disciples in the storm.
Yep.
Right? And anytime you get in a storm, your number one goal is to get out of the storm as quickly as possible. And they were stuck in the middle of the lake, couldn't get to the other side, could see the other side, but couldn't get to the other side. But then in the midst of that, Jesus comes walking on the water, and they have this amazing moment of worship and encounter with Christ that leaves them kind of shaken, saying, what in the world? Surely this is the Son of God. And I just think, you know what? They would not have had that encounter with Jesus, that experience with Jesus, if the only goal was to get out of it as quickly as possible.
And that's the very essence of a transition. A very essence of a transition, they happen for a reason, a purpose. They're not just this kind of, like you're saying, an interruption kind of our life. God does some of his most important work in a transition. Yeah. But oftentimes we need a transition to be able to see differently, think differently, behave differently, and actually better understand how God is sometimes operating differently. And so he shapes values. He actually introduces new paradigms. He actually brings healing to us sometimes
during times of transition.
During times of transition. And usually that healing is often a past experience or whatever that needs to be dealt with so that we can move forward. And he starts giving us whispers about the future. But how I actually stumbled on the idea of transitions after 30 years of coaching, I was helping people try to hear God and figure out where they were and grow in their development and everything. And it was like everyone was going, yeah, that's really good, Terry, but nah, I'm not going to do too much with it, till all of a sudden I began to realize that that person is in an in-between moment of their journey, and they need help sorting out where they are in order to best move forward. And I began to realize, my goodness, transitions are that moment in time that we all experience when you don't know where you're going, but you know you can't go back to where you've been.
Yeah.
And oftentimes when I speak or whatever, I'll say that definition, you can almost hear whiplash of people's head come up like, what did he just say?
Yeah. And so say that again.
Yeah. There is this period of time when you don't know where you're going, but you know you can't go back to where you've been. A door has closed, but no new door is open.
Yeah.
And this happens both corporately in organizations. This happens, I think the global pandemic kicked us into one altogether. And sometimes the externals kick us into personal transitions.
Right.
Or sometimes personal transitions help us better understand how we're going to live in the external.
Yeah.
But transitions are this in-between moment of time. And, you know, for a long while, we think it's bad pizza or it's something going on that I didn't do right or I failed God or something, only to realize the difference between a hard moment and a transition is that it doesn't go away.
Yeah, yeah.
And because it doesn't go away, it's like, hey, I need some way to process this. I need some way to better understand what in the world is going on. And actually, sometimes we lose God's voice in the
right, midst of it. Yeah. Sometimes in times of transition, God is silent.
He's silent, and that scares us to death. And then we try all the things that we used to try to hear his voice again, and we don't hear it. It's like, what is going on? Well, what is going on is he's not actually kind of, you know, discarded us. What he's actually doing is trying to dig some deeper wells to feed us and to help us better understand who he is and who we are.
Yeah.
And take us deeper in our understanding of how he shaped us and deeper in our understanding of how much he loves us.
Yeah.
And that transition period happens because very often we won't stop.
Yeah.
Because we won't stop, we'll just keep running ahead, repeating, you know, old ways, hoping it continues to create new life.
Yeah.
Well, at some point in time, what got us here won't take us there. So I tell people transitions are this incredible moment, just like you said, that we want out, but God wants in.
Yeah.
And if we surrender to him, then he takes us on a journey where we begin to evaluate and the process of aligning with what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So I saw lots of individuals, leaders, people who are just passionate Christ followers, actually begin to say, okay, if I'm in a transition, how do I process it? And the axiom is get all you can out of this transition.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be forever. And get what you can out of what God's doing. And so typically the journey in a transition is a journey between evaluating what's going on, asking God how we're to respond. And a lot of the time is spent in that kind of motion. And I define it as a circle, but it's kind of like, okay, God, what are you doing? He says what he's doing, and now we have the opportunity to either respond to him or try to run from him. If we respond to him, he keeps revealing, and at some point in time then, he starts to reweave the journey and the story back together with new growth, new insights, and the things we need for the day ahead.
So really, I mean, for anybody listening who's in a transition, really, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a little bit like suffering. Nobody wants to suffer, but the outcomes of suffering, if we walk through it in a God kind of way, a God-shaping kind of way, are good.
It's a hard thing.
It's a hard thing.
But a good thing.
And I used to say, you know, that our greatest times of catalytic growth are times of suffering or short-term mission trips. So go on the short-term mission trip because nobody wants to schedule in suffering.
Exactly.
But now I've in the last few years, I've started adding in times of transition.
Yep.
And I think one of the things that's kind of common with all three of those is, it's kind of what you said, you don't know what's coming. Your feet are a little bit pulled out from under you.
Yep.
And you have to focus on God.
Yep.
So they're good things because they bring growth. So anybody listening, if you feel like you're in a transition, And if you feel like God is silent, it's not necessarily a bad thing. He's doing something. So give just, I don't know, give a few pointers on how do you know if you're in a transition?
Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm at. You oftentimes are knee-deep into a transition, or I say knee-deep into alligators, yeah, before you even know it.
Okay.
You've got something that's occurring that won't go away. Yeah. You've got this, like
when you say something occurring that won't go away,
a restlessness, okay, a confusion, a sense of uncertainty. Sometimes it's diminished confidence. Mm. Sometimes you're approaching the same things you've approached before.
And it worked.
And it worked, and now it doesn't work. Yeah. And I call it almost like the boy or the girl in the bubble. Mm. You feel like it's all going on, and everyone's going forward, but you're not. You're stuck.
Yeah.
And with that, what happens is, we begin to feel very isolated. Well, transitions are times of isolation. Transitions are times when all of a sudden we're in between.
Yeah.
And with that, that in-between moment is that moment to dive deep, to go into that time with Him that is oftentimes hard, but it's trying some new ways to find Him and new practices and even disciplines where He reveals Himself to us. So if somebody is constantly feeling like, hey, I keep hitting my head against the wall and nothing's breaking through, I keep trying to do the things I've always done, I keep feeling restless, and even the farther I go, the less I feel in terms of assured that God's going to use me, there's a shot you could be in a transition.
Yeah.
And that uncertainty then should be led to the fact, Lord, if you are trying to do something in my journey, in my life, I give.
Yeah.
I'll go on a journey with you. And here's the key. Transitions don't solve themselves overnight. Transitions don't solve themselves immediately. Transitions usually are 3 months to, and I'm sure everybody's going to love when I say this, 3 months to even 3 years.
Yeah.
Where God is realigning us to now the work He wants to do in and through our life.
Yeah.
And it just takes time to actually go through that processing. But here's the good news. The good news is get all you can out of it, because in the days ahead, He's going to use this processing to help you kind of move to the next chapter. And the truth is, if we don't have transitions, oftentimes we'll hit a moment where we'll stop. We'll plateau in our growth, and we won't move forward.
Yeah.
And we'll try to kind of live tomorrow's challenges on yesterday's renewal, and that don't work.
So it's kind of like a midlife crisis is somebody who entered into the transition and didn't really, in a healthy way anyway, come out the other side.
They actually decided that I'm going to stay put in my journey. And like a lot of us right now.
Or I'm going to try to go back.
I'm going to go
even better.
Back.
Yeah.
So what people typically do is when you don't know your way forward, you typically go back.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I see the church even doing some of that right now. Mm-hmm. Where because we're unsure of where things really are headed, then we want the security of what's behind us.
Yeah.
And, you know, you even see that. The thing I saw this was John 21 with Peter. You know that, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? That needs to be seen in the context of that moment.
Yeah.
Because Peter went fishing the night before that.
So set the context of that story a little bit more.
Okay.
Like pretend somebody doesn't know what you're talking about. John 21.
Well, John 21 is the end of Jesus' life here on earth.
Right.
He's setting up the disciples to lead now without him present.
Right.
And Peter shows up.
And Peter has had a pretty major
He's had a major
failure.
Defeat with three denials.
Denied
Jesus three times.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all the background that sets up. Peter says to the disciples, let's go fishing. And the disciples say, we're in.
Yeah.
So in other words, misery loves company. And so he's out.
Yeah.
And they're fishing. They catch nothing. They come back. Jesus is on the shore. This is what I find so interesting. He's cooking the fish, and it's all there. Breakfast is already prepared for him. And he says those words, friends, have you caught anything?
Yeah.
Well, we all know that, and the reality is they haven't. And then all of a sudden, John says to Peter, I think it's the Lord. Yeah. They put their nets over. They catch abundance of fish, but Peter just dives for the shore. Yeah. So there they are having breakfast together. And that incredible moment is Jesus saying to Peter, Pete, do you love me?
Yeah.
And yes, I love you. Do you really love me? Well, you know I love you, Lord.
Yeah.
Peter, do you love me? Why do you keep asking me that question?
Yeah.
And I agree that is an issue of our relationship with him and the depth of our love.
Yeah.
But if you really think about it, that was a transition moment those disciples were in.
Yeah.
Jesus was leaving.
Yeah.
Another way to look at that story is this. Pete, are you going to go back to where you've been, i.e. where you were last night fishing? Or are you going to follow me, feed my sheep, and go forward now,
yeah.
especially with me not here?
Yeah.
And that is the processing that has to happen in a transition so we move forward into what he has for us.
Yeah, I, you know, one of the pictures actually that my wife Lynn gave me, because she we call her the shame expert here.
She is.
And but the picture that she gave me, which has just been so helpful and I think helps us in those times of transition, it's kind of the, you know, there's a moment,
yeah.
one of the Gospels describes this moment where Peter denies that he knows Jesus for the third time. This is when, you know, Jesus is going mm. through his toughest time, and he's in the court of Cephas, the high priest, but there's this moment described where the rooster crows for the third time. Jesus told Peter, you'll deny me three times. No, before the rooster crows once. So Peter denies Jesus for the third time. The rooster crows. And then you have this sense, this description of Peter and Jesus' eyes meeting.
Yeah.
And so both know that, yeah. that Peter has failed. And I would say for almost all of my life, the image that I've had in my mind of Jesus' face in that moment is this look of utter disappointment.
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness, I told you, and even though I told you, you still screwed up.
Yep.
And this look, and I think so many of us, especially when we go into a time of transition when you feel stuck,
yeah.
and maybe God is silent, we think, well, God must be disappointed
yeah.
with me.
Yeah.
But the picture that Lynn gave me is just this thought of Jesus not disappointed, but Jesus almost in a sense cheering Peter. It's just like, Peter, hang on. Just hang on for three more days. And
yeah.
and you're going to make it. I'm going to yeah. rock your world.
Yeah.
The relationship is going to be good. There's going to be a whole new chapter. Just
yeah.
hang on for three more days.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I think that is so much more the picture of God leading us through these times of transition. Mm. Just hang on. Don't
yeah.
don't feel stuck. Don't go back. You know, we're going to make it.
And that's what people often do, because actually they've let Jesus down. They've
yeah.
disappointed God. They've had a major failure. They've had something that even has happened to kick them into that transition.
Yeah.
The bottom line is all of a sudden then, okay, and they're isolated. Then they start feeling like, maybe I'm not worthy.
Yeah.
I can't go on. This is not going to work. When really transitions are all about two things. Understanding once again how much he loves us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And understanding also how it's always going to be about trust.
Yeah.
And those two, I think, need to go together, because I think Peter realized how much Jesus loved him.
Yeah.
But I think what Jesus was saying to Peter is, you need to trust me then.
Yeah.
Don't go back to what you've been.
Yeah.
Now move on. I love you, Peter. You know that I love you. Let's move forward.
So real quickly,
yeah.
You've identified some major transitions. I mean, everybody goes through different transitions,
yeah.
but there's some major transitions that, for the most part, we all go through.
Yep.
Just real quick, what are those? How does that work?
Three strategic transitions. You'll probably go through 10 to maybe even 15 of these in-between times yeah. in your journey.
Smaller transitions.
Smaller transitions.
Yeah.
But there are three biggies. One is the awakening transition. That happens somewhere in the 20s to kind of late 30s. That's where we awaken to the fact that God is at work in our lives. Mm-hmm.
Second, and he has a calling.
It's a calling.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah. yeah.
It's calling. Second major transition is deciding.
Yeah.
And that happens usually in the early 40s to mid-50s.
Yeah.
And in the deciding transition, now all of a sudden we've accepted his call and we're on the road to try to serve him. Now it's beginning to understand, so what unique things does he really want for me to do?
Right.
And if you're going to discover those, you're going to have to make some decisions of what you're not going to do.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to make choices where you learn to say no so you can say yes.
Yeah.
That's the deciding transition, and that's about contribution.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about calling, but nobody talks about the mid-game,
right.
The contribution. So as you live into that contribution, the third major transition is the finishing. And the finishing usually happens sometimes in early 60s beyond into 70, where all of a sudden is, okay, now am I going to understand what God's given me so I can give it to other people?
Right.
And that's the idea of convergence, where my life now has a few things that I netted that I can give to people who I know love him so that they can do it better.
Yeah.
And then my life outlives my days, and a legacy is the net result.
Yeah.
So three biggies, awakening, deciding, finishing, all keep us moving to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yeah, that's good.
So last thing, if you had like a minute to talk to somebody who's going, you know, as we've been talking, they just, well, maybe that's what's going on in my life. It's been hard. I felt stuck, feel like God is silent.
Yeah.
Maybe I've disappointed him, but maybe it's just a transition. Maybe I'm going through a time of transition.
Yeah.
One or two things besides get your book stuck? One or two things.
Shameless promotion, right there. Yeah.
One or two things that that person can do to hang in there to see the transition come through to the good stuff that God has on the other side.
First thing I tell them is lean in.
Lean in. Yeah.
Instead of leaning away for fear and believing an answer won't come, lean in.
Lean into
what God's at work doing.
Yeah.
And recognize the second thing, that the prize of surrender is revelation.
Yeah.
So he wants us to know more than sometimes, Dan, we want to know.
Yeah.
So he's not playing hide and go seek with us. He's not toying with us. He wants us to know, but like Jesus did in John 5 when he surrendered to the Father, it says Jesus did that. And actually, the Father showed the Son what he's doing.
Yeah.
Jesus wants to show us what he's doing. Third thing is response matters. Don't actually feel like, okay, I got it now, and I see it, Jesus, and I'll act differently in the future. No, we got to go through the point sometimes of confession and emptying out our heart to him and telling him how much we love him and want him. And then probably the final thing is, don't chase the answer, chase him.
That's good.
Because if you chase him, you'll get the answer.
Yeah, that's good.
If you chase the answer, there's often a good possibility you're going to short circuit what he's doing and why even take somebody through that.
That's good.
And then the final thing, what did I say, four and then one more? I learned that from you.
Yeah.
The final thing is this, it's going to come to the end. Transitions do come to an end. And here's the real truth. And then you have what you have. In other words, whatever you're willing to chase after by way of knowing him and knowing yourself, now you have what you have to move into the next phase. So get all you can out of the transition.
So say one more time, the one that connected with, I mean, surrender is a big deal, but the chase him, not what?
Chase him and not the answer.
Not the answer, yeah.
A lot of people want to know, well, if this is, you know, not working, what's the answer?
Yeah, what do I do?
Instead of, if this is not working, God, what are you at work doing?
Yeah.
How can I gain voice recognition and hear your voice?
Yeah.
And then believe the fact that you're in this, and when you're ready, you're going to move me on to what we have next.
Yeah.
Don't chase the answer, chase him.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So surrender. Don't chase the answer, chase him. Transitions are all about, ultimately, it's not just about what you're going to do. It's about this relationship with God. It's about, you know, that story of the walking on the water. I'm going to give you an opportunity to encounter me, God says, encounter Christ in the midst of this transition. So chase him. Don't chase the answer. Let me pray for all of you who are listening. Father, thank you for each and every person. God, I pray specifically right now for the people who there was something in what Terry was saying that resonated with them, that they're feeling stuck or It's a hard time. It seems like all the things that worked before don't work now. And maybe even this sense that you're a little bit silent or disappointed, God. Yeah. And really what's happening is they're in a transition. And there is something on the other side that you have for them that is so good, so good. But I pray that right now, in the midst of the transition, that you would show them what they need to surrender, and you would give them a heart to chase after you, and not the answer, not the end of the transition, but to chase after you. God, I've seen in my own life, in those dark nights of the soul, that really what you're doing is you're not being silent because you're disappointed. Mm. You just want us to dig a little bit more. You want us to want it a little bit more. You want us to be more hungry for your presence. And so, God, I pray for each and every person listening who is in a time of transition or someday will be in a time of transition, that you would draw them to yourself, that you would show them that you are a good Father, that Jesus, you are an amazing Savior and King and friend. And God, would you shepherd these times for us? Yeah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.